This is Warn Radio. Remnant battle lines for the end time Christian believer. Greetings, this is the Watchman, Dana Smith. This show is part headline news, prophecy, biblical commentary, guest interviews, and special presentations. Join us today as we enter into the lines of the remnant and the battle before us. This is the end of days. Darkness is all around, but victory is assured in Jesus Christ, and we are the remnant. And through faith in the promises and a God who will not fail, we shall overcome. Greetings.
Greetings and welcome to Thursday night's Remnant Battle Lines with the Watchman and Tower. Tonight on the show, Presence of Hope Part 4, God with Men. Presence of Hope Part 4 continues as we find the truth of our hope. This hope is based in Scripture and flows from our hearts. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Thursday, the 25th day of January 2018, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and we are covering the end of days as they happened. This is Warn Radio. The readings in the Word this week are found in Exodus chapter 13, starting at verse 17 through chapter 17, verse 16. Judges chapter 4, verse 4 through chapter 5, verse 31. And the New Testament portion is Matthew 26, 1 through 75. Go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to get the latest articles by The Watchman. Check out Father, Call No Man Your Father. This has been the blight of the church and its leadership in every generation. These words were addressed to the disciples and the crowd that had gathered around. The Jewish religious leaders divorced morality and religion and insisted that men should respect their office, whatever might be their personal character. The craving for this has been the temptation and bone of Christ's ministers in every age. No classification, conspiracy behind the conspiracies, or beyond the conspiracies, sorry. Everyone knows about the Illuminati, but this project is so secret there is no classification for it. In this, the winner takes all. Yep, every last piece of dirt we call America. Don't miss this one. Read more and share. So you can go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to read the latest articles and listen to the shows. And you can listen to all our shows on the front page of warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. Also, check out the blog. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/warnradio. And we have three Twitter accounts. Hashtag WatchmanIS216, hashtag Warn Radio, or hashtag WGS_Watchman. And now I welcome in the Watchman for Thursday Night Battle Lines. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Yes, indeedy. We are flowing down towards the end of January, and we're here again on a Thursday night.
Hard to believe.
I know. I know. Time just flies by. We've been saying that for years, and it still flies by.
It's getting faster, though, I think.
Well, you know, it just does. I mean, we were in December, and I remember when we were talking about Thanksgiving not too long ago. You know, and now we're going to be, you know, in Passover, and, you know, then we'll be counting down to Pentecost. Dear.
I know. That's crazy.
Oh, it just flies. I mean, for us it does. But
yes, it does.
And this week we've been just super busy. Just busy, 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 busy. And, you know, so just a lot of things going on. We got a lot of things online we're working on, and so it's just one of them things. And if you haven't taken a look at our new book, the book one in the series, it's actually called the Steel Series, S-T-E-E-L, the Steel Series. And first one is Steel the Darkness, and we've had it up on advertising it throughout Amazon, and we've got a new big ad coming out through Ingram sometime. I think it's February that one comes out. I don't know. I've got to get over there and find out.
I think that's right. I think it's February.
So at any rate, check out the book. You can also go to danaglennsmith.com. We have all kinds of stuff on it there. And you can check it out there as well. But if you've got a bookstore anywhere that you kind of favor, just tell them that you can find it, just order it from Ingram. And it's available worldwide. We do have a number of our friends around the world that... we're some of the first ones to get the copies, and so we are, all those that, you know, have gotten the book and even the e-book, you know, be sure to check, go to the book page on Amazon and leave us a comment, because that's how everything is done on Amazon, and that in keywords, so... that's just about the way it is. And a lot of your, you know, just depends on your keywords, your book, and how many comments you have before they even begin to show up. At any rate, enough of that. We're moving on here. We're going to be discussing the presence of the Lord. And, you know, Tower, to be honest with you, there's no better time to be discussing the presence of the Lord, because we're in pretty perilous times, and that's when we need the presence of the Lord.
Oh, amen. I agree with that.
And so, at any rate, I'm going to go ahead and do this. If you got anything, I'm just going to start.
Okay, sounds good. I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. Indeed, we are talking about the presence of the Lord, and, you know, we, for some time now, for quite a long time, we've been doing these studies and things and the shows. We've been doing the shows for a long time, but, you know, the emphasis for us is to help the brethren and everybody, to encourage them in the Lord, to give them the word, and bring these teachings to people, because we're trying and we're working to prepare for what is coming. And, you know, the thing of it is, though, is that not everybody lives in an apocalyptic world. While they may be there in this world that is full of trials and tribulations, there are many people that see the divisions, but they live their lives, and they managed to co-opt out of it. And I don't say this in disregard to them at all. Matter of fact, you know, there are those, even in Israel, where Jews and Palestinians get together. They refuse to fight over everything and hate one another. They respect one another. They respect their opinions, what they do. You know, not everybody. And this is where when you get online and you listen, and you may think everything is just terrible. And there's no doubt we have a lot of trouble in this whole world. But not everybody lives on that edge. Now, see, Tower and I practically live in this all the time because we deal with it. I write a lot of articles. We have websites, you know. We got the radio show. And, of course, we've got the book that deals with it. We have a lot of things we're dealing with here. But you have to bring yourself out of it and understand that this is still a great big world, that not everybody in it is evil or plotting, that there are good people in the world. And society may be, you know, like they say, going to hell in a handbasket. But, you know, there are people that literally live in a world as unto themselves. They just, you know, they have friends, they do things, and it's just not that way for them. And so, you know, it makes it difficult maybe for you to, you know, witness to people or do various things to bring the Lord into situations. You know, on the one hand, you have people that, if you get overseas and mention the name of the Lord, and we talk about persecuted Christians, and they're facing death all the time. In some of the other parts of the world, you can actually live a life and even mention Jesus and witness and live as a Christian and never face that. But you have this dichotomy in the world. And so today we're talking about the presence of hope. And hope, you know, maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. You know, we're talking about a real experience here. We're not talking about mere religion. And, you know, I was thinking about this over the last several days. You know, because if you go around the world and you see travel shows or, you know, visit to other countries, you're going to see people that have temples, and they're full of various figures and statues. And, you know, we had an occasion this week to go to one of our family's funeral service. She's a Catholic, so it's a Catholic funeral. And as I sat in there, and I went out of respect to her, because she's a wonderful lady. And I don't doubt the seriousness of the people's faith there in that church at all. But as I looked at, you know, they had all kinds of statues and various things, angels and all kinds of figurines. You know, I don't get into that. But it reminded me of Paul talking about things in the New Testament, about how the statues, and we can find this even in the law, Jeremiah and the prophets talking, because Israel got into other gods. And they were making these gods, and they looked wonderful. But these gods didn't talk. These gods didn't walk. These gods didn't fly. Nothing. And even when Babylon fell, the various gods that they served fell when Babylon fell. These gods weren't able to deliver themselves or their people from judgment. And as I sat there and was listening, and I looked around and I saw these things. You know, that it was gorgeous. And if you've ever seen signs, inside the Vatican where the Pope sits, it's a lot of gold, a lot of stuff, you know. And if you get down into where various places like Thailand, they have these huge Buddhas, just absolutely gorgeous gold, huge things. I mean, from the secular standpoint, and even from amazement of how they made these things, they're absolutely amazing. And so the people, they have their faith, they live. But folks, there's one true living God, you see, and we are in the end times. And we have as many churches, many denominations, many different kinds of religions, and as many gods, you know, as there's ever been on this face of this earth. In the Old Testament, you know, the Brit Kadesh and the Tanakh, you know, if you compare the two, the Old and the New Covenant, and the people then and the people now, you know, we always have had people with other gods and other methods and other ideas. Now, you see, we are entering into a time of deception today. And one of the things the Lord warned about was that deception. In Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, extensive warning before he ever begins in those chapters, he warns of deception. Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2 talks about deception and delusion, the time of lawlessness. And we are in the time of lawlessness now. And so as we begin this, we're going to go through and we're going to talk about Israel. We're going to have an example from the New Covenant. Then we're going to go in depth about the presence of God in the time of Israel. Now, we're doing this for a reason, because then we're going to go back into the New Testament and we're going to look at things in there. And, you know, we want to understand the fact that it's more than just a religion. It's more than just being Christianity. If you cannot, as a Christian, believe that this God gave of his only Son, and not only that, he's given you of his Spirit, and he's an active God, alive, and he has his angels stationed round about you. That this is a God that is able to deliver, able to save, able to move, then you're missing the boat. This is not a rote religion. This is not a religion of statues. This is not a religion of, well, this is what we're all doing now. This is a God who, if you want this Lord and this God, you must go through Yahshua Jesus Christ. And there is going to be a price to serve him in these end days. And that price will be faith. And sometimes that faith will cost you your life. See? And as much as I like to see the culture of people and understand that even in their culture, and they may not know the true God, they're still wonderfully made. They mean well. They're good people. They just don't know the truth. But you're coming to a time that is going to be very, very important for you to know the truth. And only you can make that decision. Now, you see, for Israel, The ark represented the presence of the Lord. And, of course, in Exodus 40, 34 through 38, we see where when the Lord came in that presence, this was after the high priest, of course, performed the sacrifices. They did everything they needed to be doing. And, of course, they couldn't just enter into the Holy of Holies whenever they wanted to. They had to enter at the right time. But in Exodus 40, 34, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode therein, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now, see, we also see this in Revelation. And this is actually before the beginning of what we call the wrath of God tribulation. That there's silence in heaven. No one could enter the temple in heaven. And smoke was there. The presence of God was there. And this, and there's just a silence. And nothing is happening because this thing is building up to the wrath of God tribulation. Unlike any other time that's ever happened. Now, you see, we see in various places in the Tanakh where the presence of God and His glory, when that manifests, mere flesh cannot do much of anything. The mere presence of God. When you as flesh get in the presence of God, you fall. Prostrate. You're not going to stand. Because it's holy. That presence is holy and perfect. And I'm convinced today that the churches and the leaderships and the denominations do not understand fully the glory of our great God, nor of His presence. But one day, this earth and everyone on it, and in it, let's say, you can be in it or on it, however you want to look at it, the flat earth theory, you would be on it, but since we're not a flat earth, we are a sphere held there by gravity. We're in the earth. But there is a time when everything rolls out flat when you get into the great white throne judgment. And you stand there before this great God who is judging all through Yahshua Jesus Christ on that day. Now see, in this part, when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, the children of Israel went around onward in all their journeys. But if that cloud stayed on the tabernacle, they did not journey anywhere. The cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. See, throughout all their journeys. Now you think about this. Now see, the Israel that you understand today is that little itty bitty goopa land over there in the Middle East that the Arabs and the Jews haggle over. And it's also the part of the place that the Catholic Church, the Roman Church, let's say, wants to control some of the, wants to control not some, but all of the Christian holy sites there. It's long been established that Rome would favor an international city, not Jerusalem being the capital of Israel, but an international city, an international capital where all three religions could abide and the Catholic Church could formally and officially be the one in charge of all of the Christian holy sites. Now, you see, that's not the Israel that we find in the Tanakh. But see, the God of Israel in the Tanakh is still the same God that you see there, and Israel is being restored. Now, they don't fully know the Messiah yet. There are Messianic Jews over there. There's a lot of Messianic ministries like Mao's Israel and others. And there's a lot of Gentiles who support Israel, support the fact that Jerusalem is the capital. But that still isn't the fullness. And there's a lot of fire and trouble coming for Israel and for the world. And I'm going to tell you that if you're a Christian, there's going to be a fire on you. You're going to go through the fire. Your faith is going to be tried. Now, the rest of the world, many of them won't know what to do. There will be a lot of fear, and there will be a lot of death. There will be a lot of many things going on that you cannot control. So when we talk about the presence of hope, we're talking about the presence of God in our midst and the hope of what is coming for us in His kingdom and the power of His might to keep us as we go through this. Because if we can find an example where God literally had the glory cloud on the tabernacle in the daytime and fire at night. Now see, Paul calls the covenant a greater covenant, better covenant. We have the blood of the covenant. Yahshua died on the cross for our sins. He rose from the dead. We've got a glorious covenant. We are infilled by His Spirit. The apostles turned the world upside down. Miracles and signs and wonders followed them. When Paul needed encouragement, the Lord stood by his side. Angels, well, they delivered Peter out of prison. What I'm telling you is this, is that God has not changed one bit. The only place God has changed is in the doctrines of men who are Christians and Christian leaders who have, through unbelief and misinterpretation, taken the whole thing a different route, making you believe that this is just another religion like everybody else's religion, and your God, for all intents and purposes, is just like Buddha. Or one of the other ones. And the people that serve these, they are serious in their faith. The Muslims who wage war like ISIS, it was an abomination, and I reported on it. I couldn't stand what they did. But to them, that is the only truth they know. I read an article, a headline today, where there was a big mucky muck politician, I think it was Germany, he became a Muslim. Made the headlines. Now, you see, there's a lot of people, and they go to doubt. I've heard of a number of Christians that turn, and you are entering into a time, my friend, when Christians will turn to another religion. God has warned us through the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when a society of the end days, following the period of lawlessness, now we were told that because sin and iniquity will abound, the love of many will wax cold. Paul tells us in that portion in 2 Thessalonians 2 that they will reject the love of the truth, which is the gospel. And I've mentioned this many, many times. Now see, all of that is leading us. We are in that time. And the people are leaving and turning around and churning, and they have doubts in their faith. They have problems. They don't know what to do. And it's going to get worse. And I'm telling you today that you need to get the roots down. You need to get yourself and your family prepared. You need to stop playing games. You need to get in there and believe God and be prepared to stand, because it may not happen right away. It may, and this is the way faith works. God does this on purpose. He doesn't come when you expect him to. He comes in the fullness. And that word given must try you, just like the word says of Joseph, that the word saith of itself that it had to try Joseph before anything concerning Joseph could come true. As far as him taking the second position in all of Egypt, he could not have that until he was tried fully by the word which had been given concerning him. Now you see, and I've got a couple of things here I wanted to. Wanted to work on. And I've got a little section here that I wanted to kind of move. Because I want to make sure that we get this in accordance with how we need to do it. Because it's important for you to understand this. You know, just how we're going to do this. Now, this is where we run into trouble, too, when we talk about the literal Word of God. You know, I read another headline today. And the guy talked about faith, Christianity, and God. And the way things were in the world. But he said, you know, it's okay now because I'm an atheist. I used to believe, but I don't anymore, and I'm an atheist. And see, people reconcile things and they do things and make choices that enables them to handle the pressure. And you'll do the same thing. I guarantee it. If you do not get your roots down, you will do something in order to allow you to handle it. Now, when I was raised, I was taught. Of course, I was taken to church a lot. I'm a Methodist boy. And, you know, I went to MYF camp. My grandma went. My granddad went. My mom went. My other grandmother, you know, my dad got saved at an Azusa Street revival. So we were not as fervent as we should have been, not by a long shot. I did get a grounding. But see, people do things, you know, in order to live their life, they come to some agreement. If there's something they're doing, if they were taught something and that makes them uncomfortable, then they will find a way, either through Scripture or through their own philosophies, as to how to make it through. Because you cannot live with yourself if you feel you're doing something wrong. If you're feeling guilty, you're going to have to deal with that guilt. And I got news for you. Through the Holy Spirit is there to prod you and poke you. Not just to be a comfort. But when you're living in sin, when you're falling away. I know. But see, there's things that you can only ignore so long. And after that, you reach a point to where you adjust your faith and how you're going to live. Now, for this one guy, it was to become an atheist. When I was being raised, we were told never to talk politics and never discuss religion in public. Never. And that's how Dad's generation dealt with a lot of this stuff. The reason is, every time you got on politics and religion, people got upset. Because you always ran into someone that was radical in their terms. So in order to get rid of the radicalism, you just decide, well, I'm not going to talk about it because if he is radical, I don't want to know about it and I don't want to give him a chance to say anything. So you either avoid him or you never discuss it. And so somewhere along the line, you have to prepare yourself because the things that are coming, and really, in just like Israel is in the center of conflict. Yet many of the Jews and the Arabs both, there are a lot of them that get along with one another. But there are groups from Hamas and others that live among them that still cause trouble and kill. They're there to make war. But there's a lot of Arabs, Muslims, as well as Arab Israelis. And they've learned to live in the conflict area. And they even get along with one another. And they're friends. They make a living. Because there is another life outside of the Israeli conflict. Because the news, and this was pointed out in a show that I watched, headed up by a Jew, and he's a nice Jew, has a good personality. It's his show. And he isn't Christian, folks. But see, they can't do anything about the things that are uncontrollable. Even the nations can't do anything. America can't do anything. Russia can't do anything. The UK can't do anything. The UN can't do anything. Iran can't do anything. It is there. It's a problem. It's not going away. The scripture says Jerusalem is going to become a burdensome stone. It's just there. You're not going to change it. Same thing with the tribulation and the end of days. It's there. It comes as a snare. You're not going to change it. You have to learn to live with it. And what they've decided to do in Israel, for instance, in a lot of these, they live their life. They get along. They have great food, good times. They enjoy life. Because most of the news outlets in the world, the only thing they want to talk about is the differences. And the war, and the politics, and the hatred, but they don't pick out and report on the good things that may be going on. You get on MSN, ABC, CBS, CNN. Rush Limbaugh was talking today about that. I just happened to hear it. I don't listen to him much, but I was in my car going someplace today, and I just happened to hear it. And Rush was talking about a lot of things along this line. And he was talking about the liberal news media because he had been asked a question, why do they do what they do? They just hate Trump so much. And you know, Jeffrey Toobin, I used to listen to Jeffrey Toobin, but this guy's a guy that got so upset with something Trump said that he couldn't even finish his segment. He forgot what he was going to say. He had to go off the air because he got so upset. See, because they don't think Trump has a brain in his head, that he's a fool, that he sits there and he never reads anything, does anything, but in fact, he knows how to negotiate and take care of things. He's been able to do a lot more than Obama in his first year. But you'll never hear it from the news, not the liberal news media. They will never report, very rarely, anything that he does right. It's the same thing with Israel. And this is what this guy was pointing out. He got it from the people on the streets there in Israel. And they weren't just in Tel Aviv or Jerusalem. They were up and down the coast around in Israel. A lot of the Arabs. You can't do anything about it, but they won't report on any of the good things that are going on. All they can do is tell you how terrible it is. But see, we are going to enter into this troubled times. And in America, we have such a divisiveness that there's no way that America can be so divisive and not wind up at war with one another. It just, you can't do it. You cannot live your life in America with such hatred towards a president without something happening. And I'm telling you tonight, something's going to happen. If someone doesn't change the tune in America somewhere, sooner or later, something's going to give. It just will. And see, this is exactly what the devil wants. And you're going to have a lot of Christians that are going to wind up dismayed. A lot of them are going to lose faith. There are going to be a lot of them killed. There's going to be a lot of everybody killed. There's going to be a lot of deaths. And what I'm telling you is something that Jerry Golden had given, put out today. I don't know when he put it out, I think today or yesterday. I just happened to be over there. I have talked with Jerry a couple of times over the years. One time I tried to actually interview him, and he didn't trust the American press, so he didn't want to go on. I talked to him through email, correspondence a couple of times in the past, and I sent him off another email today after I read what he wrote, because he didn't know if he should. He had believed he had got a message from the Lord. And, of course, it's not a message you want to read. Because this is serious business, folks. You don't talk religion and politics in public. That's what I was taught. But I talk about religion and politics, not as much politics anymore. But I don't discuss religion. I discuss faith in the true and living God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now see, we just got done looking at the Ark and its presence and how God would manifest himself when he was leading the children of Israel around. Now, if God did that then, now we're in the new covenant, which is better. You've got his spirit. He manifests himself inside of you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Yet you can't hear a word he says. Is it God or is it you? In one of the recent articles I wrote this week, I referred to the Laodicean church and the fact the Lord is on outside the church knocking to get in. Now, the Lord is the Lord of glory. He can blow down that door. He don't have to knock. He can call on legions of angels to lift that building up and carry it away. But he's knocking on the door. See, there's coming a time when judgment comes upon the church. And upon those in the church, everyone is going to stand before the Lord for the things they've done in this body. There comes a time. He's going to judge the wicked too. But see, at the door of the church, he's knocking to get in. He's not in the church, folks. He's outside trying to get in. Now, see, you may say God is in your church. That's good. I'm glad. It's not up to me to decide which churches in America are full of God and which aren't. No, I don't do that. I preach the word, and the word will, on the day that you stand before the Lord God, the word will be the judge, not me. Now, let's look in Deuteronomy 31. And see, this is Moses. And, of course, Moses, going through Deuteronomy and towards the end, it's his, you could say, swan song. He's getting ready to go off into the sunset. He has to go die. He can't go into the promised land. He wants to see it, so he gets to see it, but he can't lead. Joshua, who has been with him, is going to take over. And so, all the days of Moses' life, God was with him. One of the greatest prophets that we've ever had was Moses. Verse 2 of Deuteronomy 31, and he said unto them, speaking to the children of Israel, I am 120 years old this day, and I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Now how would you like to be alive and 120 years old? Now there are people that get that old. Not many, but a few. But he has a lot of responsibility, and he still has his facilities upstairs. He's not crazy. He says, the Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee as the Lord has said. Now that's Moses talking to the children of Israel, telling them that the Lord will go before them. Now this is after the 40 years in the wilderness, folks. This is after the Lord providing for them the whole time. Food, clothing, shelter, guidance, and also chastisement, learning. And of course, a cloud by day and a fire by night. Now they're getting ready to go into the promised land to fulfill the promises that God gave Abraham. And Joshua, now you see, when we talk about the original people coming out of Egypt, Joshua and Caleb are the two original from that generation that actually made it all the way through. That we know about. Because there was one whole entire generation that had sinned before the Lord because of the 12 spies and that issue. And so they died in the wilderness, and their kids are the ones now that are raised up ready to go in, and they have been raised up seeing the power of God. They knew they were learning for a reason. The time had come. Moses now is going to pass on, and Joshua, who had been actually with Moses the whole time, he saw this generation, the generation that had died. He also witnessed the younger generation come up. And they, this younger generation, learned. And of course, by now, Sihon and Og, king of the Amorites, were destroyed by the Lord. They saw that. So they know that this God is powerful. And he says, and the Lord shall give them up before your face, that he may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that shall go with thee. He shall not fail thee or forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, and he'll be with thee, and he shall not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Now you see, these are the key words that you need to pay attention to. You need to be strong in the Lord. You need to be of a good courage. You cannot fear, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. You can't fear the situation, you can't fear what may come, and you cannot be afraid of those who stand before you and may even want to kill you. Now you see, God is no respecter of person. So God is with Moses. He's going to be with the children of Israel, and he's with Joshua, the chain of command. Now you see, today, as we are on the precipice of, you know, the end of time, the horizon, you know, is laying out before us, we can see trouble coming in the form of the tribulation, the wrath of God, tribulation, and many other things that are coming in the world. Even if we don't look at the prophecies and look at things from the Bible, we can see that this world faces many, many challenges. And it's at this time that people find ways to cope. But see, the number one thing that we're to do is to be faithful, do not fear, trust the Lord, and be strong. Now see, in a couple of verses after that, that was Deuteronomy 31. In Deuteronomy 34:9, it says, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And of course, when Moses passed on, there was not a prophet like him in all of Israel. But Moses did prophesy that there would be another great prophet coming, and that prophet was, of course, Yahshua, Jesus Christ. That's one of the offices he fulfilled. He's also priest, king. The Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He that was dead and is alive, he that has the keys of death and hell, the Almighty, the Good Shepherd. There's many names, many offices, many things that he fulfilled. Now see, for the Old Testament, the presence of the Lord, they did not have the covenant as we know it today. Now see, yet when we talk about the presence of God, it was manifested for the children of Israel through the ark. The presence of God was manifested through the prophets that he used, like Moses and Joshua. The presence of God was manifested towards Israel as a nation when they were obedient and led by Joshua, and they even Caleb, and they defeated the giants. They defeated the nations. David, the warrior king, went out and had defeated the nations that had come against Israel. And because he was able to defeat the enemies of Israel, by the time Solomon came around, Israel was at peace with its enemies. Now in 2 Samuel 6, 12 through 23, verse 16 says, "And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michael, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart." Now in verse 14, see, they're bringing the ark into the city of David, and they're all joyful. And David danced before the Lord, and this is what she saw. And see, that's the presence of the Lord. Now you see, it's important to understand that we are in the New Testament. And we have the manifestation of the Spirit of God in us. A personal relationship through our Father in heaven, through Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. And we have the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. We have so much more of the manifestation and the presence of God than Israel ever had. Yet, there's times when you look at it and you wonder, does anybody believe in miracles anymore? Now see, there's a real hope. And see, that's why when we talk about hope, hope is nothing without a couple of things. Number one, whatever you're hoping in, it's got to at least be something that you believe is going to realistically occur. Why do you have hope? Well, because I believe in our God and Father, who gave of his only begotten Son. I believe that he has redeemed me. Well, do you got any proof? Well, yeah, he gives me joy and peace. I can, you know, he's manifested himself to me. See, being a Christian and having faith is not just about going to a church and having water sprinkled on you, or when you get ready to die, have someone pray a prayer over you and hope you're going to make it into heaven. You know, and the Mormons and the Catholics both like to pray for the dead. And if you go over, you know, into the Asian countries, they honor the dead and they pray for them. They burn incense to them, and you know, the Mexicans down there, they do the Day of the Dead. The Day of the Dead is throughout a lot of the Latin American countries. But see, when you're dead, you're dead. It's done, baby. If you haven't made the right decision by then, all the prayers that they can pray for you ain't going to change anything. You have to make the decision before you get to that. And that's why when we look in Revelation 21, there's only one more chapter to Revelation. That's chapter 22. And in chapter 22, that is the bottom line that the Lord warns. He's getting ready to close the book on the Revelation, the Apocalypse, the Revelation, the unveiling of the redemption plan of God and of his Son, Yeshua, Jesus. And see, many think that Revelation is just about the tribulation, but it's not. And with that, that's the end of hour one. And we're going to be back for hour two in just a few minutes. Greetings. This is hour two.
Welcome back to the second hour of Remnant Battle Lines with the Watchman and Tower. It's Thursday, January 25th, 2018, and you are listening to Warren Radio. Tonight on the show, Presence of Hope, Part 4, God with Men. And now I welcome back the Watchman for our in-depth study.
Thank you, Tower. And this is, again, this is part two. Hour two of part four. Because we do the two-hour shows and we break them up to make it easier to download and upload and everything like that. Well, we are talking about Presence of Hope. And we're looking at Revelation 21. We've been looking at the Old Testament. A number of examples of the presence of God and what he did there. And we're looking at, number one, we are that generation that is going to be facing, you know, this snare, as Scripture calls it, that's going to come upon the whole earth. And a time of deception, of danger, a time when men's hearts will fail them for fear. But this is also a time when God will have a remnant. This is a time also when God will have even a remnant among the Jews. They will come to know the Lord. There will be a lot of fire and fury in Israel. Make no mistake about that. And in all of this, God is going to have a people. And God is not done. He's not delegated the earth to the devil. He has not delegated all man to hell. He has not delegated that all Christians are going to be absolutely comfortless and without hope. That is pure, sheer nonsense. Now, Revelation 21. Now, see, I believe this. We're supposed to be, number one, of faith. Have faith that really believes. But see, you're going to be tested on this. And, you know, whenever things are unpleasant, we always like to, well, we don't like being uncomfortable. I don't think anybody likes being uncomfortable. You know, even when you're sleeping, you don't want to be in an uncomfortable position. When you're driving, after a while, you got to get out of the uncomfortable position. If you're at work, you don't like to have certain uncomfortable situations arise. You know, you don't like to have bill collectors calling you. You don't like to live in a danger zone like some of the Christians are, where they face death all the time. And certainly, you probably don't want to go into the tribulation. Now, of course, the church, the Gentile church in America, come up with a neat little solution. They just started teaching that the church is going to go in the pre-trib rapture. The Assemblies of God teach this. I was taught it when I went there. I taught it too. I knew it very well. That's a wrong teaching. God, the Lord is coming again. But to say that the Christians are not going to face it when Scripture itself says judgment will first begin at the house of God, then we who are saved, if we barely survive, what will the sinners and the ungodly stand? And when you get into Revelation, it's quite clear. The believers are there, and the devil will make war against them. He's always made war against them, but it's going to get even worse when, we're in that time now. Revelation 21, verse 1. We're going to go through these, because Revelation 21, this is something we need to talk about. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there's no more sea. Okay, now that's number one. First of all, the earth is not going to be blown up, okay? And there are going to be a lot of signs in heaven. You're going to think that everything's coming apart. But God is going to renew the earth and the heavens and all that beyond the heavens. That's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. And you're not going to lose a thing. You're going to gain an inheritance. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, you might think that Jerusalem on earth is the one. But see, when God renews everything, there is going to be a new Jerusalem. And it will replace what Jerusalem you know there. Now, in some places, when we talk about Jewish scholars, they actually believe the new Jerusalem that's coming down, they picture it kind of like a city that hangs in the air above Israel. And I've seen pictures of that a long time ago. There was pictures like that. I don't believe that at all. The Lord is coming down, and he will manifest himself totally. He will be here now. The Lord will rule and reign out of Jerusalem for 1,000 years, but there will be a new Jerusalem that will come down and will sit on this earth in the renewed state. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Now see, remember that. All things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Now see, true and faithful. So number one, this thing goes into a cataclysm, many judgments, a lot of death, a lot of war. The devil will rule for a while, and there will be another religion that will take heed and place of Christianity and all the others. That's going to happen. You ain't going to get out of it. It's going to happen. And it's going to be a delusion, and even today people are falling for delusions. But all things are going to be made new. And so you hear all of the people tell you that, you know, the aliens are going to come from Mars, and they're going to take over the Earth, and they're going to kill everybody on it, and, you know, take everything over, and, you know, you're not going to have the Earth anymore. And there's some people saying, well, you know, we've got 1,000 years to evacuate planet Earth, and after that it'll be too late, so we got to find a second Earth. And so we have a lot of this cataclysm. The Earth's going to die, the sun's going to get blown up, and there's not going to be anything left, and, you know, oh, boo-hoo. I don't believe that. I don't care about it. I don't worry about it, because I know him who holds tomorrow. I don't have to be a scientist. All I need to do is know the Lord. Period. And see, his spirit gives me comfort and peace. I can have his peace. No matter how many lies the devil says, I can have peace. No matter how wicked and dirty, rotten it is, God is still able to save to the uttermost. There's no point in any time coming, there's no point that you're going to reach in the future when God is not going to be in charge, that he will not hear you, and that he's not able to bring a miracle and a sign and a wonder on your behalf. There's nowhere in Scripture that tells you that while people are being martyred, God is not doing miracles. Not one. But I can show you Scriptures where God does miracles. Where people, yes, they've been martyred, but God also did miracles. And that the people, some of them chose miracles and deliverance and promises, and others chose, and they were martyred. The earth is not going to get blown up, but it very well could face nuclear holocaust. It very well could reach a point that you think that the very fabric of this world is going to be torn apart. Matter of fact, Isaiah's Apocalypse chapter 24 talks about that exact same thing, and it shows that the world is going to move out of place. There is going to reach a point when things are going to be so bad in the heavens, the earth, and the earth itself, that you will literally think there won't be another place left. It's just like, you know, you're a goldfish and you're in a little goldfish bowl, you know, the little small kind we used to set on the counters as I was a boy. Only I had guppies and a few other fish. You know, all you had to do is take that thing and throw it outside and break it and their whole world would be gone. You could take it and flush them down the toilet and their whole world would be gone. Now, see, that's the way a lot of people are treating this. Is that, you know, the devil's just going to come here and he's going to take everything. He's just going to flush it down the toilet because he doesn't like God and he don't like anybody that don't like him and he's just going to kill everybody. Well, those are his plans. But I got news for you. It says that he will make war with the saints. And in a war, it's a battle. That means both sides win a little, lose a little. One side will win more. And it does say that he will overcome them. That word means to literally wear out or tire out. But that doesn't mean they've overcome. Because even in their death, we're told way ahead of time in Revelation 12:11 that they've overcame. Past tense, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they love their lives not unto death. The Lord said, do not fear them who kill the body, but fear him who can kill the body and destroy the soul in hell. Yea, fear him. We're not to fear them. We're not to fear death. We're not to fear the devil. There's one that you need to fear tonight. That is the Lord. But you need a healthy fear. Not a paranoia fear, but you need a fear that will lead you to the knowledge of God. One that will lead you to him, not from him. Now see, the devil wants to give you the kind of fear that will tear you from him. Now see, many people, including over in ISIS territory and many radical Muslims, they have a tactic. It's very simple. Okay, Christian, unless you become a Muslim, we're going to kill you. That don't work. Okay, we're going to kill your wife. That don't work. We're going to kill your kids. That don't work. I'm going to rape your kids. If that don't work, I'm going to rape your wife. They will do anything to terrorize you to do one thing, to get you to become their version of what Islam is all about. Because make no mistake, even among the Muslims, they all fight. But they're not the only ones out there. There's a lot of enemies, not just Muslims. Now see, your job, and you can't choose, okay? You're here. That's it. You're here. You can't choose to say, well, I opt out of it. Now, of course, you could, you know, cut your life short. You could do a lot of things like that. I wouldn't recommend it, but you know, people do things, as I said earlier. They will find a way to alleviate the pressure that they can't handle. Now, see, this is where you as a Christian with life comes in. You've got hope, man. Woman. You got hope. You need to be that light for these people that have no hope. You need to have Christ in your life so they can see that and they can find that. And you can give them hope. Because God will manifest himself to them. Now, I got a challenge for you tonight. If you're a Christian, and God has not manifested himself to you in some way, then you need to get back with God. Because the Lord always makes himself known to those who have accepted him and follow him. He does. Now, I'm not talking about the appearance of angels and all that other. No, he works from the inside. It's the same thing with your children that you have. You raise them up, and at some point, their ears don't work. Johnny, don't do that. Johnny, I told you not to do that. Johnny, I told you not to do that. So you keep that up for half an hour, and Johnny's still doing it. You don't get up off your butt because you don't want to be bothered. Maybe you're watching a TV show. Maybe you're reading the paper. Maybe you're talking with a wife. Maybe you're drinking a beer. I don't know what you're doing, but you know that's what happens. And we have a whole society full of young people that were raised that way. And now they're being raised by the internet, and they're being raised by deceivers. And these people, these kids now are lost. L-O-S-T. They're lost. Few of them are found, but they're lost. Adults are lost. Society is lost. Society is in the throes of confusion, and society really doesn't know what it is. And that illustration of that is today with Trump as president. Now, see, you have just enough division in this country that when Obama came into power, he had all the media and all of Hollywood backing him up, and they loved all of his policies because they're liberal. They, you know, and, you know, there were Christians among them. There were other denominations among them. There were other religions, you know. Trump comes along, and he's not Obama. But he's going to drain the swamp, so he's in your face. He says, you know, there's a whole bunch of people that elected me that didn't like what Obama did. And he's right. Well, the liberals didn't like that. So now we've got this big divisive thing happening, and it's been happening. It was like that during 8 years of Obama. It just didn't happen over Trump. It's been here. But most of those people that Trump was, you know, that voted for him, they've spent 8 years silent. They haven't done anything. They just put up with Obama and hoped somebody would come along to help him out. And he did. It was Trump. He had a message that the Republican establishment didn't even like. And they still don't like him. But there's one thing about it. There are leaders in other countries that like Trump because they like what he's done. And they're still trying to impeach him. They still hate his guts. The liberal news will not say anything nice about him. And they're chomping at the bit to get rid of him. Now you see, and that's not all the problems we have here. The problems we have in society are deep-rooted racial bitterness, poverty-ridden, and much more. And then you've got the radical Islam that has attacked America and the cause of numerous attacks. They're able to infiltrate America through the internet. And I've told you before that the internet is one of the most damnable things we've ever had. Now, see, I use the internet to get the word out. But the internet is not your friend. The internet is not a friend to your children. You need to be prepared to get off the internet. You need to be prepared to wean your children off the internet. You need to watch the groups that they're getting into, because if you don't, the devil will get them. And when you listen to these shows, you download them, you put them somewhere that you can listen to them, because one of these days, your computers are not going to be safe, your internet's not going to be safe, your phones are not going to be safe. You had better, you need to listen. Get into the Word. But see, these verses in Revelation, I believe them. Because I have cried a few tears in my life. I have had sorrow. So's Tower. But, you know, we've been married a long, long time, and it seems like yesterday. Because, see, although we face troubles and have faced troubles, you see, we remember the good things. We see that even in the trouble, God made a way for us. Somehow we made it through. And see, we're going in, and it's going to get here someday. I like to have a little secret hope that God's going to give us time to continue to spread the word. There's a few things we still want to do. We'd like to finish those. But you see, the end could come at any time. But my friends, by the time the Lord shows up, and by the time the fire of refinement has done with you, when you stand before the Lord, you will have joy unspeakable, and you will be filled with glory. There is no describing what it will be like to you. I cannot make it known to you right now. Now, the Spirit of God is moving, and He can make this real to you. But we're just looking through a glass darkly. But one of these days, when it's all said and done, your Lord is going to stand before you. And as you look at Him, the tears will be flowing out of your eyes. Your heart will be filled with so much joy and love that you can't contain it. And He will take His finger and grab a tear. We used to say He will put them in a jar and keep them. There will be no more death. You won't feel pain. You'll be changed. And everything will be made new. Now you see, once He goes through all of the believers in eternity at this time, you know, it says in Revelation, He says, it is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I'll give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Now, I've talked about this before. Now, see, on the cross, He said it is finished. That is His redemptive work. Now, He says it is done. That's the fulfillment of your redemption. Now see, right after it says it is done, He says, he that overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That's what you and I must do. And we overcome through our faith. 1 John 5. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and love our lives not unto death. Revelation 12. But you see, verse 6 of Revelation 21, it is done. Verse 7, he that overcometh. See, that tells you it's done, and he that overcomes. Verse 8, but, there's a but in there, but the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There's the but. We don't want to worry about that. We're not going to be walking in an unbelieving, fearful, abominable. We're not going to be a murderer, a whoremonger, sorcerer, idolater, liar. We're going to walk in His Spirit after the things of the Spirit and not after the flesh. We're going to do what He says in John 15. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. There are things He expects of us. Ways that we must walk. We must walk in the light as He is the light. 1 John. Chapter 1. Now you see, let's go down to the part that we have here. Talking about the wall of the city. It had 12 gates, and the gates, and at the gates, 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles. You see, He is, Yahshua, Jesus, is the cornerstone built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. We're not called to a separate faith. We're called to the unifying faith through Christ. You see, God's been working on this plan from the beginning, and that's why when we talk about a presence of hope, it is real. In verse 23 of that, it says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Now remember John saying, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. This is the fulfillment. He's already taken away the sin of the world. He's died on the cross where He said it was finished. He finished the redemption where now He says it is done. And He says all things are made new. And now the city is there. You have a new heavens and a new earth, and the Lamb is the light. But the glory of God lightens it as well. Now you see, being as we do live in the world, you're not going to get away from man's wisdom. 1 Corinthians 2 talks about the natural man. And you and I have to deal with the natural man or the natural woman. And as we head into this, it's not going to be easy. Trying to discuss things with people that don't understand them, don't want to understand them, don't want to listen about them, don't want to talk about them. And many of them, because of the time period, they will see the deception that's going to be given, going to be revealed, that Paul warns about. And they're going to be an enemy. See, we already see this in Muslim nations where ex-Muslims, you know, they're ex-Muslims. They got saved, they come to the Lord, and now their enemies are those of their own household. We've even seen this in America, where Muslim fathers are willing to kill their own daughters You know, over in Sweden right now, they have a terrible situation going on over there now because of Muslims and all the immigrants that have come in. They've got so many Muslim immigrants in there that, of course, they have a lot of kids, and most of the Muslim kids who are immigrants have formed into gangs. And somehow they got their hands on Russian Kalashnikov, and they're running around in their gangs. They've been killing people over there, and even, you know, the political establishment is talking about calling out the army in order to get control over it. They have so many rapes done by Muslim men now that they can't keep up with it. There's such a backlog that if you got raped today, there's nothing that they could help you with. And I've covered stories where the women just simply allow themselves to be raped just so they don't get killed. That's how bad it is in Sweden right now. And it's right now. And throughout all of Europe, we see the Muslim flood, and it's not going to get any better. And main reason is because the political establishments, many of them, don't see the danger. Obama doesn't see the danger. The liberals in America don't see the danger. They want to welcome more. And if you think for a minute that the problem with the Muslims overseas is not going to be your problem here, you're crazy. Because they'll be here. This is the thing that most people don't want to talk about. It's not a good subject. But you're going to have to face facts. You're going to have to come to a reality check here. And you're going to have to find out, well, how am I going to deal with it? Well, see, we're talking about the natural man. The natural man would find all this upsetting. And he might ignore it. If he was rich, he could think he could buy his way out of it. He could afford to buy a big house and, you know, pay people to protect him and his family. He might go buy an island somewhere and protect it there. But riches are not going to buy you out of what's coming. They're not going to do it. In the end, the rich and the poor will say to the mountains, fall on us and hide us from him who sits upon the throne. 1 Corinthians 2:11, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now do you hear that? If you've truly come to the Lord, you have the spirit which is of God. And there are things that are given freely to you, like love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, etc. They're free. As well as the ability to understand and to know, read the Bible and understand it. You've been given miracles. You've been given the ability to have healing through the blood of the covenant. Because of what Christ, by his stripes, we have been healed. You have a God that, he says he'll give his angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. The angels of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. The Lord prayed for you. He said, Father, I pray that you would not take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. He commanded us to pray, watch and pray, Luke 21:34-36, watch and pray, always, that you would be counted worthy to escape all these things that are going to come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. See, you have to understand this stuff. There's things that's been given to you. Now, if you're going to get, well, this, Father, I pray that you keep them from the evil, you need to be in Christ. He said in John 15, that you need to abide in him, for without him you can do nothing. You're not going to survive without him. You're not going to make it through without him. You can do nothing. And that means nothing. We have been born like all humans have been born, unless you come out of a spaceship or some other way. But, you know, generally speaking, you know, your mama bore you. And, of course, you went to school and you graduated and you did all things that humans do. And there's natural wisdom. There's natural things you see. Now, the answer to today's problem is not in the natural, it's in the spiritual. And Paul goes on to say, which things also we speak, not in the words which man wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. See, and that is the impetus that you and I face today. And Christians have always faced that. Because the natural man, the one on the street, even your family, they can understand, well, religion. They can understand the differences in religion. And when they hear someone say, well, you know, all paths lead to God, in the natural that sounds good, because Scripture says there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but in the end it brings forth death. So in the natural, it's that's what men do and women do. In the natural, they don't understand. The things of God are foolishness. You can't know these things except through the Spirit of God. They're spiritually discerned. And Paul says, but he that is spiritual, this is through Christ, judgeth all things. See, we as believers can judge all things. We know right from wrong. We know what we can do. We know what's available. Yet he himself is judged of no man. Although the devil accuses us and others may accuse you, you're not before God. You're not judged. He goes on to say, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct in, but we have the mind of Christ. See, in truth, that's what you should have. But if you're not walking in the light as he is in the light, you're not going to be able to do that. If you're not in his word, if you're not focusing on him, if you're not seeking his face, if you're not doing what he says, you're not going to have the mind of the Lord. You're not going to have the mind of Christ. You're not going to be spiritually discerned. You're not going to know the things of the Spirit. You're not going to know what God is willing to do and not willing to do, nor the things. Now see, he says, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's what we've been doing tonight. See, there's a couple of things here. First thing of it is, I've been going through what is written before of how God worked with the children of Israel. I'm going now through how God, you know, what Paul said and what God had revealed to him. And then I'm relating them to you, the spiritual things to you. I'm finding spiritual things from the Old Testament, New Testament, and I'm relaying them to you. But see, there's also other spiritual things out there. There are spiritual things that are spiritual, but they're not Christian. And we as believers, we should know the difference. Now, let's move down again. Let's move to Matthew 25. This is the parable of the talents and the joy of the Lord. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now see, you know, there are natural talents that humans have. That is just part of the human genome, and God given us that ability. There's natural abilities. Now, Tennessee Ernie Ford is one of the greatest examples there is. He had a fabulous voice. He sang fabulous songs. He had a television show. Yet he himself had a lot of problems. Now, you see, there's also those things given. And this specifically relates to those who are the Lord's. You, as His servant, God has given you talents, gifts. And it may not be an evangelist, or a pastor, or a teacher. You may have other gifts that God wants you to use for Him. Whatever it is. And see, the key to the parable of the talents is the people that received them, whatever they were, they just went out and availed themselves of them. They used them. They were given them. They're going to go out and use them. And when it says, and this one here, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them 5 other talents. In other words, when he says traded them, that's when you use them. Now see, when we put this in the spiritual realm and in your talent section, what can you do? Can you read a book? Can you preach? Can you teach? Maybe it's running a Christian business. Maybe it's just finding someone to be a friend with. Whatever that is, you're trading that down. In other words, you're giving of yourself to someone else. That gift which is in you, you're allowing it to be used. You're using it for the Lord. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. Because when you go and give of yourself, that comes back to you. Because whatsoever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. You sow of the Lord, you're going to reap the things of the Lord back. That's the way it works. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now you see, that comes out of fear. And, you know, when we were in Bible school, there was one thing that all of us knew about. And it came from an old Christian missionary who talked about those who were called to the mission field and how they would respond to the call. And then when the going got tough, they quit. And he says in the story that there was a mountain of crosses over there. And that came from all those who started the journey but then got tired of carrying the cross and threw it up on the mountain. And that can happen because they can be given over to making money, having a living. You know, it can happen in a lot of ways. And a person that throws his cross up there and says, take up your cross and follow me, that's a whole lot different than sitting around believing God for a huge house and a multi-million dollar bank account. See, when we start bringing in the natural man and the things of the flesh and making them and saying, well, that's okay, I can follow that as a Christian. No, you can't. But see, this guy that had 1, well, since I don't have 5, I'm just going to go hide it. You know, what can I do? So he just forgets it. So it says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with him. And so he that received the 5 talents came and bought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them the 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now you see, that happened for the 2 as well. All the ones that had the talents and used them, they got a well done. Because the success is this. the one that had the five didn't get greater glory than the one that had the two. They both got into the joy of the Lord. It wasn't about that. It was about being faithful and using what God had given you. And believe me when I tell you, you can put this down as the word of the Lord. It is appointed unto man to be faithful, to live by faith and to be faithful. As a believer, as a Christian, it is appointed unto you to be faithful. God didn't call you to become a Billy Graham. He's called you to be you and be the best you that you can be for him. And that's why we try to utilize here in our own ministry a lot of things. I write. I put out books. There's a lot of gifts that God has given me, and Tower too, that we can utilize for the kingdom. And it's not about I'm greater than you, or I have more things than you, or my ministry is bigger. It's about faithfulness. Now, see, the one, he says, then when he which had received the one came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed, or sown, you know. And I was afraid, and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there that thou hast is thine. Now see, he brought back the one talent and gave it to the Lord. So he figured that the Lord wouldn't be mad at him because he didn't lose anything. But see, the Lord didn't do that. That's not why the Lord, he was to be faithful. That's where the problem was. This guy, he was afraid. Fear is of the devil. Fear is not of God. God has not given us a spirit of fear. And so, this is where the issue lies. And so he uses a secular thing. You should have at least put it to the money changers. And so they would have given him interest. It's like investing in the stock market. But therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him which has 10 talents. For every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now you see, that is a real black and white issue. And I don't mean race black and white. I mean comparison. It's in your face. You get to the point where you find out that God expects you to be faithful. And it's not according to whatever you might think as a natural man. We are to be faithful. So now we're entering into the end of days. And there's a lot of stuff you can't do a thing about. You can ignore it. You can find some way to live with it. You can go hide your talent, and that's what that would be doing. Just figure anything out, just to get out of this, just to feel better. That's hiding your talent. The other thing of it is, be faithful in whatever God has laid on your heart. If it's just going to church, just being faithful, then do that. Raising your family, do that. Whatever it is, but be faithful. Involve the Lord. Things are going to get ramped up quite a bit in the future. And we're still going to have to be faithful. God did not call us to be sniveling cowards, to cry and weep before the enemy and ask for mercy. He called us to stand, to spit in the eye of the devil, to defy those who oppose the truth, to preach, teach, be faithful. Not to whimper, not to cry, not to run scared. He didn't call us to be stupid either. And while you're looking, you might look and see if your cross was thrown on that mountain of crosses. You know, the ones who threw it off to the side because they got tired of carrying the cross for the Lord. He said, take up your cross and follow me. Father, we thank you for your word tonight, for those who hear whenever they do. Only you know their hearts, Lord. Feed them. Give them understanding. Meet their needs. Undertake in their lives. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. In Jesus' name. Okay, Tower.
Good word tonight, Dana. And that challenge, we all should be challenged with that. Making sure we're in the presence of the Lord and being spoken to by Him, or that we have Him in our lives and we know Him, we hear Him.
Yeah.
I think we could all do better.
Yeah. We haven't arrived yet.
Boy, that's for sure.
Last time I checked, we're all still here.
I'm on the train, though.
That's right. Well, don't forget, tomorrow night is Sound the Shofar, 6:30. Don't forget to check out the websites, warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Don't forget also, we have Get Healthy Young Living. We have a Facebook group now connected with the Get Healthy thing we're doing right now. And so that's taking care of the other part, the physical part. So check things out and continue to meet with us here. And remember, all of these broadcasts, you can watch the videos high def on Vimeo or on our website. You can listen and download all the shows on Spreaker and many other places that carry us on the Warren Radio Network and also on our Warren Radio site itself. warren-usa.com. You can download them there. So we're going to say goodnight, folks.
Okay, be sure to join us tomorrow night for Saints of God Walking in the Light. Thanks for joining us. We love you. We pray for you. We're thankful that you're our friends and our brothers and sisters. God be with you.
Amen. Shalom, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
We thank you for joining us today on Warren Radio. the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.